We'll try to cover the entire chapter, not in reading, but, you know, doing a talk or doing the, you know, preaching. Daniel chapter 3, and we'll read up till verse 18. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, the prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that the king Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there were some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who paid no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you did not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?' Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up.'" And of course, the rest of the reading is that they were thrown into the furnace, and there was a presence of God with them. So again, we will stand and sing. Let's look at this passage. I mean, recently, I'm beginning to see that Christians, we are under pressure. Pressure from all angles. I have had 2 children in university. You know, my oldest son and my daughter. And whenever they come home, they say, "Daddy, the pressure is so much." And it says to me things that, you know, the temptation, you know, of the crowds and all sorts. And I keep saying to them, keep standing on the word of God. And not just children, even Christians today, even missionaries today, pastors today. Last year, Rico Tice, who is one of our evangelical evangelists, have to, you know, withdraw from the Bishop Evangelism Committee because he couldn't agree with something that wasn't biblical. He took his stand. And I see this in this passage. But before we go into the passage, there's a I like something that I read in a book recently, and I was able to put it down here just to illustrate the greatness of God. It says that at the funeral of Louis the 14th, King Louis the 14th of France, the great cathedral was packed with those that have come to pay their last tribute to the great king. He led his country for 72 years, 110 days. And he was great. And as our reading goes, there was a big candle that was set over the casket or the coffin that had his remains. And before the priest who was preaching, who has come to give the last message, came out, the cathedral was dark except for that large big candle. And he said the priest reached out and he took a grip of the candle and the whole place got dark. And he said this, "Yes, this king was great, but only God is great." And I want to say we serve a great God. The God that Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego serve. He is the same God that we are serving today. And the scripture is clear when it says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know sometimes it's like, is God there? But he is the same God that we serve. So whenever we come in touch with pressure or, you know, let us always turn our hearts to God and say, this is the God that Joshua served. This is the God that, you know, Daniel, Meshach, and the rest of the boys share. So, but this morning, I want us to look at, you know, this passage, if one could really choose a title, it could be, we live in a time, or we live in a pressure cooker world. Now, if anybody here that you haven't got pressure upon your life, I say, praise God for you. But that's not me. You know, when I went into mission work, as I have said here over and over, you know, I trained as an agriculturist and I worked for my government and other thing in my country, and God called me to go into Christian work. My whole thought was, I just go out there and tell people about Jesus Christ and they get saved, and then I disciple them and see them into the church. But I have come to know that even doing that, there's so much pressure, theological, doctrinal pressure. So we live in a pressure cooker world. But in such time and such pressure, folks, what do we need? We need the presence of the Lord. Now, let's just, the passage that we read, just look through in there. I'm not going to do all, you know, to come up with a whole lot of stuff, but I think this passage, what I want to do is just application. Now, what were the pressure that these young men were under? First of all, we see a pressure of career. They were young men in a different country. They were young men in foreign country whom they have taken them there. They were also in position. If you like, they were people that you would say, you know, they were high flyers. They were there. You know, the in position. Daniel had position equivalent to cabinet minister. And these young men were on a fast lane in position, in terms of our positions. And so, you and myself. There are young men and women here who might be on the same path. But then the pressure was that, look, you have to bend or bow to this image, to foreign gods, to something that is not scriptural, to something that is not ordained by God. You have to bend to it. You have to bow to it. If you don't, you will not get up on a ladder. You will not get up on a ladder. What was the answer to these, from these boys? They said, no, we won't. Even if our God did not deliver us, we will still not. I wonder how many of us, when we are faced with that, we say that. Now, what does that have to do with, missionary Sunday service? Folks, I just want to say this. Every one of us sitting here, we are a missionary. In your community, in your home, God has placed you. One of my former Bible colleges was called, which is called Faith Mission. The missionaries were referred to as pilgrim. You're passing through. You see, we are foreign people. And the pressure is on us. And we are in position. Now, in that pressure, what do we need? The presence. So God has placed you in your community, and we need to stand on the word of God, not to bend or bow. But that wasn't just the pressure of career. There was another pressure. There was a pressure of the crowd, people. It's easier, isn't it? When everybody doing the same thing. I keep saying to my children, I say there is a passage that I love in the Bible. When you come to, the 12 spies who went to spy on the land. In that scripture they said that 10 went to melt the heart of the Israelites. And then 2, Joshua and Caleb, encourage them. Now, what does that say? Popular opinions is not always right. And it's easier to go with the crowd. But Caleb and Joshua won't go with the crowd. Just because majority doing it, it doesn't mean it's right. So here we see the crowds was there. They were bowing down. They were having their food. They were dancing. They were worshiping. But these boys, they said, no, we can't. And of course, some of the influential people, the astrologers, they went to King Nebuchadnezzar. They said, look, these Hebrew boys, King, they won't. They won't. Look, I tell you, the pressure of career is bad. The pressure of crowd is bad. But there was another pressure. There was a pressure of criticism. As I said, these men went to Nebuchadnezzar and they said, look, these Hebrew boys, they won. As you can see in verse 8, at this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to the king, look, they won. So why do you have them? Why is it that they are even in a position? Isn't that a sin? When we take our stands, people criticize us. I know for sure. The last 3 years I've disagreed with parish vicars and rectors that I said, no, I can't serve with these people because their lifestyle is not in line with the scripture. Yes, I've got so many criticisms. And recently one of the rectors took me aside. And he said to me, he said, Dada, look, why can't you just come along with us? Man, your needs will be met in abundance. Because the parish is well off. There's a lot of money in the parish. I said, no, I can't. And I told him the story of my life. I said, look, I was a refugee in 2 different countries. I slept on the logs. I slept in this place. And God took me out and brought me into the United Kingdom. And do you think at the age of 56, I'm going to Go for money, not by sight. So that was criticism of these men. But they won't bow. What were their answers? There's something that we can learn from them. Their answer came in a way that was moving. But because they didn't bow, what happened? See, if we take our stand, folks, we will go through the fire. And so the king said, look, right, you can't. We'll tie you. And they did. And they threw them. In fact, the scripture says the men that threw them, the strong men that threw them into the fire, the furnace fire, as they got closer to it, they were consumed by the fire. The heat alone consumed them. But these men were in the fire. As they were there, the king himself leaped. He said, sure, we put 3 men in the fire. But there's another person. So that comes with, what do we need? In the heat of the time, the heat of the day, the pressure, who do we need? We need the presence of the Lord. We need his presence. So as they were there in the fire, King Nebuchadnezzar said, there's another person. His appearance is like the Son of God. And he expressed that in his own theological understanding, the Son of God. Of course, that was the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that so true? When God says in his word that, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, he goes with us. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We need to be encouraged, even under the pressure. So that was the presence of the Lord with the Hebrew boys in the fire. And they wouldn't burn. Now, what was the answer from these boys? This is where we just quickly go through the scripture. Verse 16, their answer, there was courage. Their answer came with courage. Verse 17, with confidence. If you look at verse 17, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us. The God we serve. Verse 18, commitment. Even if he doesn't, we will still not bow. So we see their answer was courage, commitment, confidence. Their confidence was in the living God. I wonder what it is for you today. Our God, whom we serve, will deliver us. And even if he does, then what happened? What happened? The king looked, he saw, and he was angry. You know, whenever we answer the world out there with courage, confidence, and commitment, they get angry. They get amazed. And that's what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. He got angry. He's amazed. And he said, didn't we put 3 men in that fire? There's another person. There's another person in there. And he is the Son of God. Now, just put that into your own context. Whenever you're out there and you are so confident in what you're doing, how you're serving God, and you tell people, the first thing is who he thinks he is, who she thinks he is. And the next thing is, are you really sure? Is that how you've been? And, you know, it started to sink in. You know, some of my Muslim friends, you know, like the lady that I showed her picture, Jehala, the first time I met her, and I told her, I said, Dada, Are you really serious? You're from Liberia. You told me some of your background from Guinea. You're supposed to be Muslim. I said, yes, I have a bit of Muslims in my father's family, but I'm not. And then as time went on, now Jehala is, you know, I would say she's close to the Lord. I mean, she's close to becoming Christian. As I said, she just sent me a text a few days ago and said, I have gotten new flats. I want you to come to bless the flat for me. Muhammad, you saw over there when his child was born a year and a half ago, I was the first person that he found in hospital. And I said, why not the imam? He said, no, Dada, I want you to pray for us. Yet from the beginning, they thought, you know, oh no, there's only Allah, no other God. So it sinks in. And Nebuchadnezzar said, bring them out. Folks, the amazing thing is when we take our stand for God, there's few things that God does. Many things he does, but there's just few things in here. You see, he preserves us in a fire. Then he delivers us from the fire. Then he promotes us. And that's all in this passage. The young people were brought out. They were preserved by God in that fire. And they were delivered from that fire. And they were promoted into position. Now, what that says to you, what that says to me. Are you under pressure this morning? You are a missionary, just like me. We are, all of us. The day God saved us, he called all of us to speak in our community, in our home, in our surrounding, in our workplace, in our educational areas. You see, it's not just those who come and stand behind the pulpit or there. You and I are part of it. I challenge the little church that meets in my center. I said, make a commitment at the beginning of the year, you know, that you will bring one person to the church. And I said, make that commitment. Pray about it. And speak to someone. Well, the person may not become Christian through you, but in a church where the word of God is preached, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when somebody hears the word of God, God is able to use his word to bring him to himself. So we are. There's pressure. You know, I sometimes have brothers and sisters who are not Christian. When I'm visiting them, one of them told me recently he and I were in Liberia, and he has been asked by the government to go, and the new government to give advice on engineering. And there were some things that he and I were discussing, and I said to him, Stephen, you know, this is not right. And he said to me, Dada, your moral position is not everybody's moral position. I said, but what you're telling me is wrong. He said, he repeated, he's my older brother. In Africa, you don't argue with your older brother. So at this point, I have to keep quiet. And I prayed in my heart for him. So there's pressure, even within our house. You may have children or brothers or other relations that you want to talk to them about the Lord. And it's just difficult. But take courage from these men. You see, they won't bow. And when we do that, God preserves us, he delivers us, and he promotes us. When we lift Christ high, he draws man. And we go on deeper with him. So let us continue to be missionaries in our area. And I hope next year, you know, any of you encouraged, will be able to bring one or two friends with you in the church. I mean, imagine a few of us sitting here. If we were to make it as our plan, next year we can get this church packed with people. I say to Christian, please, when you're praying for me in Islington, Don't pray that God bring someone in my pathway. Pray that God, you know, save those that we are in touch. Because there's hundreds of people in the area. Everywhere I go, I meet people. If I go to King's Cross now, I could walk down from the center to Caledonian Road. I can speak to 3-4 people. But I say, Lord, help me that they accept the word of God. So when you're praying for us, the people are there. They feel it's right. Just pray that the people we talk to, they will come to faith. Because every whom we knock, we have students everywhere in the area. So may God help us as we seek to advance his kingdom. And the same God that these boys serve are the same God that we're serving today. He is a great God. Only God is great. Thank you. And we will stand and close our. Father God, we thank you again that, Lord, you are on the throne. And Father, we pray that you continue to be with us as we walk in a world that is full of many, many oppositions and challenges and denials. Lord, we pray that in the midst of it, that we will continue to take our stand and to preach the gospel from the depths of our being through the leading of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, go with us and continue to encourage us to be mission workers. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.